The guys in my circuit were convinced the roof was going to fall in when I stepped in the pulpit, so. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is from God, and everyone who loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4:7-8. That's our text. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that the words I'm about to speak and the thoughts that we think as we meditate together on these words of yours this morning, Lord, I pray that that would all be truly acceptable in your sight, O God, who sent his Son into this world to be the propitiation for our sins. Amen. Reginald III of Guelders was born on May 13, 1333. He was the son of Reginald II and Eleanor of Woodstock, who was the daughter of Edward II of England. In 1344, Reginald's father died rather suddenly, and at 11 years old, he found himself as Duke. To everybody's surprise, he really turned out to be a wonderful ruler. He loved his people dearly, and they loved him in return. But as the years went by, he discovered he loved one thing more than his people, and that was food. He ate, and he ate a lot. And by the time he entered young adulthood, he had a nickname among the people. He was known as the Fat Duke. It became really a problem, so much of a problem that his younger brother, Edward, began to worry that he couldn't adequately govern the people. And that all finally reached a climax in 1361 when Edward, with troops at his back, defeated his brother and his troops at the Battle of Teal, and Edward took over the throne. What Edward did was he imprisoned his brother Reginald in the castle at Newbrook. And the way he imprisoned him was really pretty interesting. Instead of iron bars on his cell, he had the stonemason brick in the doorway, so it was just the right width that a person of normal weight could easily leave the room. And then he told his brother, "The day you can walk out of this room on your own, I'll give you back the throne." But then he also instructed those who were his caretakers to provide him with whatever food he wanted in whatever quantities he wanted. Reginald never walked on his own out of that cell. I mean, it was so simple, really? I mean, all he had to do was eat healthy and maybe knock off a few hundred push-ups and sit-ups on the floor every day, and within a few months, he could have been back at the task he loved, with the people he loved. But he could never seem to do it. It's so simple. This morning, we hear these words from God. Beloved, let us love one another. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Oh, I guess we could probably debate what exactly he means by love. I mean, I can say I love pizza and I love my wife in the same sentence. There's obviously some nuances there. Or we could debate what one another means. Is that one another in the family of God, or does it is it broader than that? But honestly, when we quibble about stuff like that, we're really trying to keep those words of God at arm's length, aren't we? They're really pretty simple. Love one another. But it's hard. I imagine Reginald had great intentions. I kind of imagine in my mind what he ordered that first morning when he got up in his cell. An egg white omelet with wheat toast, no butter, and some fruit. Oh, maybe he went low carb and had bacon and got rid of the toast. I don't know, but you know, breakfast he was good, and then lunch came and salad with just a little bit of a vinaigrette dressing on it. But you know, I've been good so far today. How about some chocolate chip cookies, fresh out of the oven, so the chips are just a little melty, okay? And then by dinner time, the reality of his situation set in and the depression set in, and he went, you know what, I just need a pizza and a few good ales. I mean, after all, I can always start dieting tomorrow. We have such good intentions. Love one another. Hey, I'll start with my family. I've been neglecting them a little bit lately. When I get home today from the office, I'm really going to love my wife and my son. But then the day was hectic, and there were lots and lots of people in my life, and all my relational energy was kind of already gone. And so maybe I'll just read in my study for an hour or so and recharge and flip on the TV. And all right, well, I'll love them tomorrow. After all, they're my family. They'll still be here. Professors, love your students. Even though he's only read the first chapter of the book that you wrote for the class, thinks he knows more than you about the subject? Not that there's any of those students here, I'm sure. Our students, love your professors, even when they give you that long reading assignment, when they know darn well there's two midterms you have to take in other classes. Or what about the random people we encounter every day? Surely God doesn't mean we're supposed to love them too, like the barista at Starbucks or the checkout girl at Schnucks. Really, I'm supposed to try to find some way in those brief interactions to love them? It sounds so simple, but it's not so easy, is it? So here's my question. When did Reginald finally just give up? When in those years did he finally go, you know what, I'm not going to lose the weight. It's just not going to happen. I'm never going to walk out of this cell. When did he just give up? When do we just give up? When do we finally realize that we're supposed to love one another, but the person we love most in the world is us? And that self-love will always keep us from the love that God calls us for others. And then, of course, John drops the other foot, doesn't he? Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. He reminds us this morning that if we have trouble loving others, if our love of self gets in a way of us loving the people that God puts in our life, then that same love of self will always keep us from loving him. When do we finally realize that we're in a prison that we can't get out of? At least not on our own. Here's another question, by the way, I have about this story. Did Edward really want his brother to get out? I'm not so sure. I think if the point was really, hey, I just love you, brother, and I want to help you lose some weight, Edward would have been in that cell with him, right? Isn't it an amazing thing that we have a brother in Jesus that gets right in the cell with us, and even though he doesn't need to lose a pound, he eats the same foods we eat, and he gets right down on the floor next to us and does the push-ups? But of course, that's where the analogy breaks down, isn't it? Because Jesus doesn't just come alongside us and teach us how to love and to show us how to love and encourage us to love and to help us love. He actually takes our lack of love upon himself. He bears the weight of our sin. In this is love. Not that we've loved God, but that he has loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Our brother Jesus paid the price for every time we fail to love. He brought us love even though we were unlovable. And the power of that love in our lives not only cleanses us from our sin, God made him who knew no sin become sin so that we might become the righteousness of God. We might become the righteousness of God. We become something new through him. And as a result, we can love incompletely and only partially now. Someday in the new heavens and the new earth, fully, as we were created to do. So who are you going to love today? Because in just a little bit, you're going to get up and you're going to walk out and you're going to find you can fit through those doors in the back. You've been set free. Who will you love today? Because we love because he first loved us. Amen. Let's stand and pray.